This is Vaughn Christopher sitting on David's side of the desk this morning as he again has left me in charge. And we have a wonderful program planned for you for the next hour. I have a special guest in the booth that I know you're going to be wanting to talk to and listen to. But before we get to her, we're going to tell you about our advertisers, because without them, we wouldn't be here. So the people that bring you this show are the good people at the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. And they have so many nice things in their stores. So the store in Orm, as the warm weather comes along and you're looking for sweet, cool treats in the hot weather, they have that wonderful swirl machine. If you haven't tried a swirl from the swirl machine at the Orm location, you are really missing out. All they do is they take fresh juice, pour it in the top of the machine, it whips around and comes out smooth and creamy like an ice cream. And it is really a refreshing treat, and there's no dairy products in it. Tastes really good. You can do a variety of mixtures. Pineapple and orange with a little coconut mixed in is good. David likes carrot juice and a little licorice mixed together, and that tastes pretty good. Prune juice tastes good through it even, if you can believe that. And what a good way to get your kids to take some prune juice. So if you're looking for a sweet treat, especially after you've been working in the yard on hot summer days, run down to the Orm store and pick up a couple of swirls. But now I'd like to introduce my guest in the booth. She's been with me before several times, a good friend of David's and mine. Her whole family are good friends of ours. And we're just thrilled that we know her and we get to work with her. And her name is Diane Bjornson, and she's our most favorite midwife. And so welcome, Diane.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's a relief for me that you're here. And sitting on this side of the desk is always a little more nerve-wracking, and so it's nice to have a friendly face opposite me. But what we'd like to do this morning is talk a little bit again about midwifery and home birth. And so if you have questions pertaining to this subject, we'll be taking those questions in about 10 or 15, 20 minutes. We have a few things we want to discuss first, and then we'd like to have your questions pertaining to midwifery, pregnancy, childbirth, home birth, that kind of related question. But right now, as we get into the program, Diane, you've lectured for us so many times at our School of Natural Healing when we've had our seminars, and every time you come to lecture, you hit one thing really hard, which I think is very important, and that one particular item is how important diet is to pregnancy and childbirth. It's such a simple, easy thing that people, it just kind of goes over their head. They don't really realize how important diet really plays in this process.
Yes, it's extremely important. We certainly are a lot more than what we eat. You know, there used to be an old phrase, we are what we eat. Well, we're certainly more than that. But when you're building a baby, what you put into your mouth and go through your system makes a lot of difference on the quality of a baby that you produce. Makes a lot of difference. And probably the most important, single most important thing for a woman to do during her pregnancy is eat well.
And that doesn't mean soda pop and pizza and Twinkies, does it?
No, absolutely. They're completely out. With just a little note on soda pop, I don't think women have any idea how harmful that is to the body. So if they're on pop, addicted to it, or drink it a lot, they need to switch to juices. There's a lot of juices now that you can buy when you want a little special treat, mm-hmm. and so there are more healthy alternatives out there, whereas a few years ago you could never find a bottle of juice in a fast food
even a
place
grocery
or,
store. You're right. You're right. Also, just plain water is important. If you're, we find that sometimes we don't remember that we need just plain water to keep our bodies functioning properly, just to keep us hydrated.
And during pregnancy, that is particularly true because the body has to filter so many toxins and extra things going through it that a woman in her pregnancy needs to drink extra water.
And that's kind of hard to do because you're always running to the bathroom anyway when you're pregnant, and then with extra water, seems like you're going more often, but it's a healthy way to do it.
Yeah, it's real important. And actually, drinking more water keeps your you from swelling as much. A lot of times it's because women are not hydrated well enough that they start to swell and collect fluid because their body wants to hold on to it, whereas if they were drinking more, they wouldn't be swelling quite so much.
Oh, that's interesting. So the water then is just actually flushing out the body then.
Right.
Which
right.
is something very important to do, pregnant or not pregnant,
uh-huh.
but especially during pregnancy.
Yes. I've had kind of an interesting experience this last year, and that I've had several people come to me who have a history of early deliveries, who've had babies early. And the first thing that I have done is put them on a good diet. I had a gal come to me that had five pregnancies, and each one was getting, she was having progressively early. It was getting down to the last, the second to the last was 7 weeks early, and the last one was 8 weeks early. And they were just little teeny babies that were life-lighted into a larger hospital to be taken care of and so forth. And she came and we discussed a plan for pregnancy. She was really wanted to have a home birth, and I said, well, I won't deliver more than 4 weeks early, so you have to get to 4 weeks to your due date. But I feel confident if you follow the instructions that I give you that you can do it. So as far as diet goes, I put her on the mucusless diet, Dr. Christopher's mucusless diet. And if people want to know more about this, they can get this Herbal Home Healthcare, Dr. Christopher's book at the store. It's wonderful. It has a lot of information, but it talks about what is in the mucusless diet. And I took her off of dairy products. No dairy products.
Was she surprised when you did that?
Yes, because I think, because I don't know where the women get this. Well, the dairy industry really pushes. You have to get your milk, and especially during pregnancy,
right.
And it's so mucus-forming that, and it really doesn't give women much calcium at all.
It really doesn't, but we're so brainwashed into thinking it does.
Right, and I know a lot of women come in to me so proud that they're eating so well and they're drinking all this milk. And,
and you just shoot them right down.
Right, but I took her off of dairy products, and I took her off of meat, and off of all white flour and sugar. And
she probably thought she was going to starve.
She really thought she was. But for the first 2 weeks, I actually put her on a raw food diet for
mm-hmm.
2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost exclusively raw foods. And she came in and she said, I'm starving to death. And mm-hmm. I said, well, then you're going to appreciate when I add the legumes
mm-hmm.
and the nuts and the seeds.
Right.
And so we added that to her diet, and she was fine for the rest of the pregnancy, and she thought she was doing wonderful just because she'd been deprived of those
mm-hmm.
for a couple weeks. But the basis of her program was this good diet. And then in addition, I had her take a bunch of superfoods, and we can go into that in a few minutes, but let me just make a plug for everyone to get their garden started. It is so important for you to get out and grow some vegetables if you're pregnant. Women who go through the summer being pregnant, it seems that their babies are really actually a little more healthy than those that go through the winter, because women who go through the summer being pregnant have a tendency to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables, which is the most important thing
yes,
to have. And also, if you can grow your own, you don't have to worry about the contamination from the pesticides, and it makes your body so it doesn't have to work so hard at getting rid of those things. And
it's also good exercise being in the garden.
Oh, it
not,
is.
Not real strenuous. I mean, you don't want to overdo, but it would be good exercise. caring and tending your own garden while pregnant.
Yes, it's wonderful. But I've got my peas planted, and they're up a few inches, and although the weather has been terrible, and I'm waiting for some other things to come up that I planted, like my carrots and so forth, there's still plenty of time to get out and plant those things, and it's wonderful to have that. I really feel like people should be eating at least 60% raw food, women during their pregnancy. And what a wonderful thing to just go out and get your organically grown things and not have to go to the grocery store to get them.
Exactly. It's wonderful to be able to go in your own backyard and forage your own food. Aunt David takes our little kids out there, and they pick all the strawberries and eat them on the spot, and the raspberries, and, you know, anything that comes up that they can eat. They those little Cheez-It things from,
right,
you know, that they can find, they can eat. And Dean talked about last week when he would take his daughter out, and they would just taste all the mustards and the other things that happen to be growing right now without us are even planting. So it's nice to be able to go out and forage. And a book that would be able to help us on that is one of your favorites, I think, is Renaissance, that's right.
Yes, it's one of my very favorites by Stephen Foster, and you can get this at the herb stores. They carry this, but Stephen Foster is incredible. I think he's one of the foremost herbal horticulture people in the United States, and his book has good pictures and information on how to actually grow or forage the items. One important one for foraging right now for people in childbirth is the shepherd's purse. The shepherd's purse is out, and I make tincture from it, but just to dry it and have it, help stop any kind of bleeding in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful herb, and it's so plentiful here in our valley.
It is. It just grows up between the cracks in the sidewalks and the long fences, and it's very plentiful.
Yeah.
And it's good to be able to identify it easily. It looks like little purses, so it's easy to identify and easy to pick and take home.
Yeah, let me go back to explain some of the additional things that I recommended for that lady that had early deliveries. I put her on some superfoods, kelp, which actually works with the thyroid gland and also all the glandular system. It's wonderful. I put her on molasses. Molasses is the best iron source that there ever was. Plantation blackstrap molasses. It's mm-hmm. the cheapest, too, for women that will take that. It will bring their hematocrit up extremely fast, better than anything that's more expensive. And, of course, I'm very anti-synthetic iron. I think it's such a poison to the women's system. It's terrible. I put her on a calcium supplement because women who tend to deliver earlier are those who cramp a lot during pregnancy and they go into contractions. And I put her on some celery. I had her either juice celery, 4 or 5 stalks of celery a day, or take goat wix, which is a sodium source, which helps you assimilate the calcium. And then I put her on an herbal calcium source that you have that assimilates better into the body more easily. And that helps feed the muscles also and the nerves so that they don't cramp as much. I put her on catnip tea. Catnip is so wonderful. It grows in most everyone's backyard. Mm-hmm. But in the evening, I had her drink a couple cups of catnip tea before she went to bed so that it would relax her, so she wouldn't have a tendency to cramp as much. And if she woke up in the middle of the night cramping, then I had her brew another cup of strong catnip tea. The wonderful thing about catnip is that it has the whole spectrum of B vitamins. It's just an incredible tea. As I say, you can just walk out in your backyard and get it. And if you don't have it, you can always go to the herb store and get some catnip tea. But it assimilates into the body, and you use it so much better. Whereas I think a B supplement, and I need to find really pin down some research on this, but B vitamin supplements are really good for a certain amount of time, and then they start to be counteractive. But from the whole food source, the body just keeps on using them.
And just can absorb the whole thing and utilize
right.
it.
And
because it's all in its whole state, not isolated out.
Not right.
Right.
As I say, the Lord made the plants, and they're just a wonderful source of all these things that
exactly.
that we need, the best source. I also put her on juice. As a superfood. So carrot juice, which is a calcium source also, the
you
best
bet.
Calcium source you could ever get. So she had to have fresh juice every day, celery if she had it, but at least carrot and little beets or chard or whatever else thrown into that. And then I also put her on cramp bark, which is a wonderful herb which will stop cramping. And if she started cramping again at night, then she had to take a few of those pills. And she was very faithful. In other words, I said, well, you only have, she came to me a couple months into the pregnancy. I said, you have 6 months left, six or seven, however far you need to go. You'll have to do this for that long.
And she was very willing, I'm sure, by this
she
point.
She was very willing. It meant a lot to her. And it took a lot of faith, too. In other words, she would start cramping, and she'd take her things, and she'd pray. Heavenly Father helped her a lot. She did have to go into the hospital once when she had gone somewhere on a trip in a car. She came back, and she started cramping that night. It put her into labor. She went in once and got morphine. It stopped. And then I told her, make sure you don't travel anymore during the pregnancy. But she made it to 2 weeks to her due date.
Wow.
And her baby was 8.5 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And she got out the clothes that she had for her normal babies, and they were, of course, preemie, little teeny preemie clothes. And there is just no way that this baby could even fit into it. And the baby was, of course, extremely healthy. Anytime a mother is on a diet like that and taking those kind of supplements, the baby is just going to be in extremely good health.
Do you find, let me ask you a question that just came to my mind, do you find that when women stick to a good diet during their pregnancy, do they gain as much weight? Do they have do they gain less weight? I sometimes feel like pregnant women gain an excess of weight. And I wonder if being on a good diet would help them keep that excessiveness down to a better level, and then still have a healthy baby. Besides, does this kind of diet also does it help to make larger babies or just healthier babies? Or
that's really a good point to bring up, because weight gain during pregnancy can be really a problem sometimes, because it just goes on the mom and it.
It's hard to get off.
It's hard to get off afterwards. If women eat really well during the pregnancy, their weight gain is less. Their babies are still good size.
As far as gaining on their own body, but
right.
as far as the baby gaining.
The babies are still good size and big, but the mother's weight, there's less on her. And, you know, if a mother is nutritionally sound during her pregnancy, she doesn't have so many cravings. And so she isn't grabbing some kind of a junk food or whatever because she's hungry, because her nutritional needs are being met. And so she doesn't feel like she needs to eat quite as much. But there's a lot of difference between grabbing a glass of or making a glass of carrot juice for your snack during the day and grabbing a donut or something else that isn't good for you. And so that's really good. I think it's important in the eating habits of pregnant women is that they shouldn't go too long without getting something into their system. In other words, it shouldn't be just three good meals a day. It should be a snack in between the two, and the snack can be the juice or raw fruit or something of that nature, so that their blood sugar doesn't go down.
Fluctuate so much.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, we found also when you were speaking at our local classes that we had testimonials come in about the Vital Herbs combination, that the pregnant women that were taking the Vital Herbs combination were able to get over their morning sickness within a day and not experience it again. And I think this is attributed to the things that are contained in the Vital Herbs. They're a whole nutrition, all the vitamins and minerals that are needed to build a strong, healthy body, as well as a baby, are contained here, and the body's able to use that nutrients, those nutrients, and make a more nourishing, I don't know, supplement for the body, so that we aren't craving the junk food like you just mentioned.
Yes, the Vital Herbs are absolutely wonderful. I just had someone come in a week ago for their first visit, first time mom, and she wanted to know what kind of vitamin and mineral supplement to take, and I said, well, the best thing is the Vital Herbs. Go get them, because if you look at what is in it, it's got alfalfa, which is a wonderful thing for pregnancy. It has all the minerals in it, because the roots are so deep, it pulls the minerals from the soil, but it also is a wonderful protein source. And I'm very anti-red meat type protein. I don't think you get very much from that, but pro-vegetable protein, mm-hmm. and alfalfa makes wonderful babies,
you
the
bet.
Protein. Just great.
Well, wheatgrass does too.
Yes, wheatgrass, and also it has a cleansing effect on the body, which is important for women during pregnancy to be cleansing a little bit, because the toxin level raises a lot because of the she's functioning, eliminating for another body inside her as well as her own.
Right.
But the barley is wonderful. This is a great combination. And the dandelion, wonderful for the liver to cleanse it,
mm-hmm.
and kidneys, and kelp to support the system. The dolts is wonderful too. Spirulina, I recommend a lot of women go on spirulina, because it's an excellent protein source again,
mm-hmm.
and Irish moss, rose hips, the sea helps you assimilate the iron, but also it makes your skin more stretchy and makes
the rose hips does the vitamin C,
makes everything stretch better, and then the beets for iron and the liver and the yeast. Oh, this is just really a wonderful combination, with cayenne to help with the circulation, oat straw, and ginger. As I say, it was almost like it was made for pregnancy, although I know it's a general supplement, but it's absolutely wonderful for pregnant women. But I suggest that this woman take quite a few of those. And I know that besides selling it in the bottles with the capsules, you can buy it in bulk form.
Yes, you can.
And capsule it yourself. And I would recommend that for pregnant women, because I would recommend them that they take a lot, because
mm-hmm.
it is a better way than buying all these separate herbs and whatever.
Well, you know, and it's also important, as you were talking about this woman that you're helping and change her diet and be able to carry her babies longer, I think it's important to note that this woman took this responsibility on herself, and she actually put the effort out to make sure she had the food that she needed, that you recommended, and the supplements that were recommended. Instead of just relying on somebody else doing it for her, she took the responsibility, her family took the responsibility, and they worked together to make sure that this was done in their home. And I think that's an important thing to bring out. So all too often we want to shift that responsibility to a third party, where in reality the responsibility lies with us.
That's right.
If we are to improve our health and maintain our healthy lifestyle, then we need to take the responsibility and the initiative to do that ourselves, and not say, please, somebody take care of me.
That's very true, and there are so many blessings, I think, for people who do take the responsibility themselves, and so much more than if than someone else doing it for you. And the blessing that she was able to carry her baby to a real good stage, but also the years that this baby is going to be in good health.
Right.
Some of her younger children that were born so early are extremely deficient in certain areas, which causes problems and hyperactivity and
just a lot of things.
Right.
Yeah.
Kids going out and eating dirt, you know, it's a real indication that they're lacking minerals and so forth in their diet. And interesting enough that when she was doing this, these younger kids wanted to drink the juice too, and it's just what they needed.
Good.
And
so she made, not only did she help herself, she helped her entire family.
Yeah, so the boys, I think, really benefited too.
I think that's excellent. That must make you feel good that you were able to help influence somebody to go towards a better diet.
Well, it gives them the key. So no matter where she is, in other words, whether she comes back to me, well, actually she's moved, so she won't, but she's somewhere else, but she knows herself. She's learned how to take care of it herself, how to take care of the problem, and she can be self-sufficient now.
Right.
Because she's found the answers to her particular problem.
And that's what we're here for, is to give the information and have you take it and run with it.
Yeah.
And I think we've talked quite a bit. I like to keep talking with you, but we need to let the callers know if they'd like to ask questions. The phone number is 224-1400, and we'd be happy to entertain any questions that you may have for Diane Bjornson on midwifery, childbirth, pregnancy. She is an expert in her field. She has her own School of Midwifery of Utah that she teaches at and runs and directs, and she's very heavily involved in this movement. She, like I say, is the expert, the one that we feel closest to and seems to know where she's going. And we do have a couple of calls waiting for us. Should we move that way?
Okay.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question for you, and that is, I've had 3 pregnancies, and with each one towards the end, I always develop hypertension. And this last pregnancy, my baby's now 6 months old, but I went to a regular medical doctor and then I went to some lay midwives on the side just to get their input. And when my blood pressure reached around 140 over 90, they, you know, would not see me anymore, and they just referred me back to my doctor. And I tried everything I could think of to keep it down, including bed rest. And I was wondering if you had any advice or, you know, something you could tell me I should do on the next pregnancy.
Let me ask you, did you do anything herbally during the pregnancy?
I tried to change my diet, and I took, you know, I tried to eat, like, more protein. I got my protein intake up, and I took more vitamins and things like that. I took some tinctures, I think that's what you call it, you know, to help with different organs in my body and things like that, but it didn't do anything.
Well, what were you eating to increase your protein?
Eggs, and I had like a protein powder that I got at the health food store, you know, to supplement, you know. If I couldn't get it up to a certain amount, I would put that like in my milk and things.
I'll just go ahead and comment on hypertension, the problem. What happens is that during the pregnancy, the blood pressure, particularly at the end, starts to rise and gets to the point where people are concerned. Well, you're concerned about someone convulsing during labor is what the problem is. I have had some success with people with this problem, and I just did one about a year ago, which who had to go into the hospital. She wasn't going to me the time before. I had to go into the hospital because of high blood pressure, and she was able to hold it down. She went on a real good diet, of course, no meat and no eggs.
And no dairy.
No dairy. But I put her on some herbal supplements. I do believe that the protein is important, but I put her on alfalfa tabs. Alfalfa tabs are really cheap. You can get a big bottle for not very much.
Right.
And six a day, six two times a day, which seems like a lot, but...
But in reality, it isn't.
Uh-huh. But there's another few things that are really important. I also put her on cayenne for circulation during the pregnancy. Of course, I do body work. I work on people physically, and that seems to help too. But I put her on, I had her whole pregnancy on some liver cleansing malfunctions. What happens with toxemia and with the raise in blood pressure is that the system becomes too toxic by the end of the pregnancy because, as I say, you're eliminating for the baby as well as yourself, and it overloads the system because your liver and your kidneys, your eliminative organs, are not functioning well enough. And the process by which your blood is filtered in the system is slowed down, and it isn't fast enough to get the toxins out of the system, and so your blood gets thicker and your during their entire pregnancy. Dr. Christopher has a liver gallbladder formula, which is really good. It has barberry or Oregon grapefruit, wild yam, which is great for pregnancy, cramp bark, fennel, ginger, catnip, peppermint. Anyway, this is a good formula to be on during the entire pregnancy. And also, he has a kidney formula, which is excellent too. It has in it juniper berries, parsley, uva, ursi, marshmallow root, lobelia, ginger, golden seal. Uva ursi is really an important thing. Uva ursi should be taken the entire pregnancy for a person that develops hypertension to keep the kidneys functioning, and it also gives them a lot of energy. In other words, the Chinese said that if your kidneys were low, your energy would be lower. Mm-hmm. And so the uva ursi is extremely important. I use spirulina for another protein source. Spirulina is extremely good. In the morning when she got up, I advised her to take with water, just some lemon juice, and that would flush in the morning. And also, there's a little formula that you can make for a liver cleanse that you can take in the morning, which is some apple juice with some garlic, and
or grapefruit juice with
a little
garlic.
Yeah, with a little ginger put in it, and run it through your blender, and put in tablespoon of olive oil, and as I say, blend it together, which sounds terrible, but it's a wonderful liver cleanse. But this gal that I helped with it last year, she went during, I think it was the holidays, like Thanksgiving, she went off her diet and her blood and
sure,
the things she was taking, and her blood pressure soared, but she got on it again really quick, and we were able to bring it down, and she did very well. Her blood pressure went up during labor, which I would suspect, but I didn't think it was it was too high, and so she did very well and had a good home birth.
Oh, good. That's good. Does that answer your question? I think it did. She's off the air. Let's go on to another phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have a couple questions for Diane. when you go on to these vital herbs during pregnancy or nursing type things, do you need to start out pretty slow and work up? Or can you, what is your recommendation on that? I have a little daughter that tried taking it and felt like things were happening to her way too fast, you know.
If someone is not on a
good diet,
terrific diet and not in terrific shape in the beginning, it may be that starting out a little slower might be good and building up, because it does have a tendency to cleanse the body. And if there's a lot of toxins stuck in there, perhaps starting out with four a day might be a good way to start, and then build up.
And what do you try to build up to?
The recommended dosage is 3 to 6, 3 times a day. But, you know, you need to adjust that to each person, to your size, the body size, and to what your needs are. And you can usually determine how many you need, can't you, Diane?
I think so. But I think maybe a good measure would be 6 a couple times a day. In other words, don't take them all at once, but around a 12, at least 12 a day, I think would be really good. And that's why I think that, you know, buying it in bulk is more helpful.
Okay, and when you do the bulk, I wanted to know, what measurement would about approximately 6 capsules equal?
Well, you can buy your own empty capsules and fill them yourself. There are little hand machines
it's not too bad to take it without it.
It's not too bad. Well, then you're probably looking at about a teaspoon.
For the 6 capsules? Those are big capsules.
No, it would be more than a teaspoon.
For a single lot, it might be a teaspoon. For a double lot, it'd be more than that.
Well, those capsules are pretty good sized, aren't they?
Yeah, those are double lots.
Yeah.
So you probably want to take, 3 or 4 teaspoons?
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if maybe I just better dump 6 capsules out and measure it, because I'm going to start buying it in bulk.
That's a good idea.
Because I think you save tons of money that way, and I don't think it's that bad to get down, even if you don't want to put it in capsules.
Good for you.
I will just try it that way. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good. I really, when we went to those seminars, we had all sorts of raves for people by using the vital herbs, and really good reports from women who are pregnant.
You know, and it's interesting, we've put out a little advertising on vital herbs, but we haven't really made a big push nationwide on it, but we're getting more and more testimonials back on this little combination right here, on how many people absolutely love it. They find they have more energy, they just are assimilating their food better, they just feel better because they're finally getting the nutrients they need. It's amazing.
Well, I am really sold on getting your supplements from a vegetable source, an herbal source, because your body doesn't have to work so hard at breaking it down and using it.
Exactly. We are back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Is that me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just barely had a baby. I wish I would have heard you guys before I had my baby. But we had a healthy little girl, and we had no big problems during pregnancy, but I'm having tons of problems right now with mucus, and I haven't been eating at all very good, so it's my own fault.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Anyway, what I'm looking at is I have known that I need to do something serious now. It's been 6 weeks now since she's been here, and I just feel like I need to get myself, I would like to get back down to my normal weight. And I'm kind of interested in what you were saying earlier about this cleanse type thing. You were talking about when this lady was pregnant that she had just fruits and vegetables, is that correct?
Yes, but she had also legumes, brown rice and beans and lentils and things like that.
Now, didn't you just start her out, though, first with just fruits and vegetables?
Yes, I did for 2 weeks.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit more about that, and then how you slowly added other foods to her diet, the rice and the whatever you call them,
legumes.
Could you just kind of explain that, and I'll go ahead and hang up and listen.
Okay.
Thanks.
Basically, I just had her start out with the juice if you don't have a juicer, you should go and buy a juicer. That's A number one. And
we sell good juicers. The champion juicer we have at the herb shops, we always sell for $199.
It's the best price, and it keeps the prices down.
Right.
They do a good service for the whole valley.
So this price is over $200, and we keep it down to $199, and we have for years. So that's a good place to start. Also, or a Vitamixer would be an excellent place to start as well.
Right. But having a juice every day, at least a pint of juice. And, you know, you can go to the store and get a 25-pound bag of carrots and stick it in your refrigerator and get a bunch of celery, and it's really inexpensive. And by juicing, it's like getting all your vitamins and minerals free out of your food.
Right.
It's the best source that you can possibly get. So I would recommend that. Also, everyone should have a good salad every day, and that means with cabbage and
radishes and green peppers,
right,
and onions and parsley and watercress and spinach and just a whole bunch of things in there.
We have
mushrooms, and
we have a good salad at every single meal, and then we have with it either, you know, a baked potato or a lentil dish or whatever. The main thing is that as you go through the day, if you really crave, you start craving sugar, if you're used to eating a lot of sugar, then go and take your juice because it's very sweet and fulfilling. Or eating, keep apples in your refrigerator, and when you start craving something sweet, go get an apple. There's a few things also that I think are really important. One is that you should take some kelp to sustain your thyroid and get the organs in your body functioning better. And another one that's really important is some licorice. And even though some...
No, we're not talking about candy licorice.
Well, there is one candy licorice that works, and that's that panda.
The panda
the
licorice.
Finnish, the Finnish panda candy.
I happen to like that person.
It's really good. But a licorice will help sustain the adrenals, and I find that women after they've had children tend to be a little adrenal exhausted because it really puts you through a lot of work to have a baby, and if your nutrition isn't quite up to snuff, your adrenals are going to be a little exhausted, and that so a little licorice every day, I would say. You know, it varies from person to person, but I would say at least one pill twice a day. Don't overdo it, but that would help give you a little energy along with the kelp, which gives you a lot of energy, and add the vital herbs would be a wonderful way to do it. If you are nursing a baby, there is no way that you can start eating a lot less food because you will your milk supply will go down. But if you're taking these things to sustain your body, like the juice and the vital herbs and so forth, that will keep your milk up and keep it going. I remember one time after I'd had a baby, it was Agatha. She's 18. And I had gained weight during the pregnancy, and I was so discouraged. So about 2 weeks after she was born, I thought, I've got to do something about this weight. And so I went on a diet, and I was very foolish because I cut down on my food intake, and my milk dropped. And Agatha was a very aggressive nurser, and she had to work so hard to get the milk out that I got cracked nipples, and it was extremely painful. And I learned then that with very painful experience that you do not go on a severe diet.
And a crash diet while you're nursing.
While you're nursing. But if you change from eating products that have a lot of white flour and sugar and so forth and replace that amount of food with raw vegetables and brown rice. I love brown rice.
Brown rice is very important.
You know, and baked potatoes and things like that. then you're not cutting down on the quantity of the food. You're actually upping the quality. You will lose weight, and also you'll just feel a lot better, and you won't have any problems with your nursing.
Absolutely. And also, there's a little book at both locations, 160 South State of Norman, 188 South Main in Springville. For the first time you go in the store, if you've never been in before, go in and say, this is my first time here. I hear you have a little free booklet you give out, and it's called Dr. Christopher's 3-Day Cleanse Program and Mucusless Diet. And he goes into great detail in that book about what the diet should contain and some of the do's and some of the don'ts that will go along with it, and that would be a good place to start.
Right. And if you're just nursing a baby at the beginning, there's no way you can go on a 3-day cleanse, but you can use the principles.
Right.
In other words, in the morning, you can wake up and take your apple juice until noon, and that will have a cleansing effect on your body. And
more gently than going on a full
You can't go anything too heavily, but as I say, the principle is extremely important and can be used even for nursing mothers.
Right, exactly. Well, Ray, do we have any more phone calls? We do, so let's go back to the phone line. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
I just had a quick question about when I was nursing my babies. I was trying to have real good milk, and I ate these salads that you suggest every day. But I had a problem, and that was I hadn't eaten a lot of bell peppers and onions and some of these other foods that you mentioned before, and I didn't know it, but I started getting a lot of indigestion, and my baby would get colic because I wasn't, I guess, digesting it very well. And I just wondered if that's just my particular problem, if there's something you can do about it, or if, you know, if these foods are gas-causing.
Are you talking about onions in particular and garlic?
And peppers. Bell peppers and red peppers, I would eat those, and just, you know, I would just burp, and see, I wanted to have good milk, so I kept eating them, and yet it was causing that problem with me, and then I'd have the problem with the baby.
Okay. You know, it's really, a lot of it is individual as far as what women can handle when they're nursing. There are a few things that are important for women to stay away from in a kind of general across the field. One is onions.
Is that if you're not used to eating onions?
Because
I've eaten onions all during pregnancies and nursings and never had any problem with them.
It may be, some people can get away with it.
Okay.
If you eat garlic during the pregnancy, the baby's used to it.
Okay.
But what happens with onion and garlic is that it makes the milk taste bitter. And my mother was raised on a farm as a child, and when the cows went out and ate the wild onions, the milk would always be soured. Not soured, but it didn't taste good.
Right.
And so that's what happens to your milk. But if the babies have garlic in their system all during pregnancy, then they're not as likely to be upset with it. My rule of thumb with my babies was 6 months. After 6 months, I'd eat all the onions I wanted to and garlic. But it seemed like before that, I would be more careful. The other thing that is extremely difficult and should be completely avoided, it should be anyway, is chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate is a terrible one for babies. And I remember one time when someone came by our house that had brought some European chocolate, which, of course, I couldn't resist. And I had two little pieces of it, and
you paid for it.
Yeah, and my baby started projectile vomiting from it. And I've had ladies who have had their babies, and the next day, this happened to me one time, a lady had her baby, and the Relief Society brought in the meal the next day, and it was chocolate cake.
No.
And she ate the chocolate cake and went through her milk, and the baby, this one day old baby, started projectile vomiting from it and got mucus caught in the throat and it got clogged, and the baby stopped breathing for, you know, she got it started again. But it can be, that one can be really serious for little teeny babies.
You have to be really careful.
But otherwise, women just kind of have to...
It could have been that it's just something that I'm not able to digest. Maybe I need digest aids or something if I tried it again.
Well, that's true. If you're not able to assimilate and work and digest your food, then you definitely need to work on that. And one good way of doing that is the apple cider vinegar and cayenne pepper.
Yeah, that's
with honey
really good.
And water.
Another thing that I have found is that a lot of orange juice, right after birth or whatever, tends to give babies gas too.
Mm-hmm.
And of course cabbages, cooked cabbages, mm-hmm. tend to give little babies gas. But it's something that you have to experiment, and a lot of women think, well, my baby's fussy, and they don't really relate it to what they eat.
And that was just something else I was going to mention, because I've learned that now, you know, they're not nursing anymore, but my babies were allergic to milk and eggs, and of course when I was nursing I was drinking milk and eating eggs, and their little faces would break out with, you know, eczema and they'd have all these problems because they were allergic to it. And it was just a lesson that, you know, sometimes you don't learn till it's too late. So
that's right, but now you know it for your daughters.
Before any consideration of any battle ever comes along, a great war is being fought that is a war of information and of truth and of propaganda and of lies and deception and manipulation. You must align yourself on the side of this information war, on the side of truth and honesty. You must expose at every opportunity, every lie, every deception, every manipulation, and you must not be kind in doing this. You must be upfront. You must call a spade a spade. You must call a liar a liar. You must call a criminal a criminal. You must call a traitor in your publications, with your mouth, at meetings, and when you vote. The war upon drugs has nothing to do with drugs. It is a war upon the Bill of Rights. Close your eyes, ladies and gentlemen, for a moment. From the back of your eyelids, imagine a great map of the United States. And everywhere that there is a city or a town or a little village in this great country, put a little dot on that map on the back of your eyelids. If you have done it correctly, you should see more dots on that map than you're able to count. In every single one of those towns, cities, villages, hamlets, anyone can get any drug in any amount that they want that drug at any time that they want it, day or night. Now, are you going to tell me that some Colombian drug lord with a high school education is responsible for the importation into the United States and the vast network of distribution and the vast network of security and protection that type of operation would entail? If you do, I'm going to tell you right now you belong in a mental institution. Those drugs are being brought into this country and are being protected and are being distributed on a massive scale by people within the United States government itself.
And there have been other mentions to make. Congress and China and CIA.
I'm fed up with politicians in Washington lecturing the rest of us about family values.
Let me clear your mind on this. It is not our government that is our enemy. It never has been. It is people within the government who are subverting this nation in order to bring about a one-world totalitarian socialist government under the United Nations that are at fault. You see, our government is the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights, and I can guarantee you that that document has never brought one single load of drugs into this country or distributed them anywhere. People have done it. The war on crime has nothing to do with crime. It is a war upon the Bill of Rights. Look at what's happening in this country. We already have the most prisons of any other nation in the world. We have the highest rate of incarceration in those prisons per capita than any other nation in the world. Most people are in prison for victimless bullshit crimes for which they should not have ever even been bothered. Can sit back and allow others to do the work that you should be doing. The time, ladies and gentlemen, has arrived when every single person upon the face of this earth must make a choice. We can go backwards in the evolution of the human race, again into a state of slavery owned by the state, which becomes more important than the individual. Now we can march forward into greater freedom than we've ever known, with more responsibility than we've ever known.
You never did.